Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Love to hear from you. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Not .com, .net. You know, as we look at this week, right? I mean, it's like, you know, look at the week and the data, and it's volatile. It just is. We have one day, and it's coming out, everything's going to be okay with the banks. And then by the end of the day, it's all the gains are unwound, and vice versa. It just, trying to sort through this. And as I think about this, and I'll talk about this a lot in the second hour, the system itself, there's parts of it that really are broken and were broken by the massive stimulus that we pumped into this system, not just because of COVID, but we had zero interest rates well before COVID. We can change the world. Interest rates you don't ever have to pay money, and you can just borrow at zero because government debt is no interest. So who cares? Completely stupid. And the same stupid people, by the way, are in charge of everything, but, you know, it's turned out to be not quite what they hoped. But people like Elizabeth Warren and their modern monetary theory, which is basically just government take over everything, pay for everything, and don't worry, it'll all be good. And I think it's like Tucker Carlson always says, shut up and take it. And it's true. It's like, just shut up. You can't disagree with me. You're not allowed to. I'm a woke woman. You can't disagree with me. You're not allowed to. And shout them down. And it's just dumb. I mean, it's just really, really dumb because we sit there and accept the fact that this dumb woman can say whatever she wants and be paraded all over as a smart woman, even though she's repeatedly wrong all the time. And is a very important, powerful senator that's wrong all the time and never has to answer for all the wrong. And it puts us in a very weird circumstance that we're in, where the very people who are most responsible for creating an economic soup that we're still trying to figure out what's in it, right? But where it goes and how it's going to bubble over and spoil things. They're still in charge, and they're not even being questioned. Oh, you're still in charge of what just got broken? Yes, I am. And you broke it? Yes, I did. No, it wasn't. It was Trump. It's just okay. This has been going on for a long time, way before Trump. Way before Trump. It is not new to the pandemic. We exaggerated the spending in the pandemic. But on top of a system that has had zero interest rates, which is dysfunctional in a lot of different ways, right? It's like, why not lever up? Just keep levering. And also, if it's down, it doesn't matter. Just lever some more. It'll be okay. It's all good because leverage is so free. Just leverage. Is a real distortion of risk-reward capital markets, where dumb can get dumber for a long period of time until it does create, well, the 16th largest bank in the country that goes under in a weekend. Blink. It's gone. It's amazing, really, that the same people are in charge. That's weird to me. And it is discomforting, I have to say. Excuse me. Left alone, markets have an incredible ability to right themselves. Just, stupid behavior, boom, punished over here. Market takes him out, wipes him out, we move on. But when we don't, when we bail out, oh, those rules don't, that doesn't apply to Silicon Valley. Those are our political donors. That doesn't apply to them. Oh, no, 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 no. No. We're going to bail them out. Oh, well, that doesn't have any real consequences, right? So why wouldn't we go to the highest paying, riskiest bank in the world knowing our deposits are guaranteed? Well, of course we would. And behaviors changed from conservative, well-run bank to, hey, guys, why don't we give some more money to our buddies over there because they're coming up with some new AI. I don't really know what it is, but stuff. It sounds really cool. And they're cool guys. Yeah, let's do it. So we encourage bad behavior, and we encourage disorder in the system when we bail out. And what are we doing all this time now? We're bailing out. So it's discomforting. And we don't really have this chance to just flush it and move on. And so we're in a circumstance with the markets now, in my opinion, that are very difficult to really wrap our minds around. Meaning collectively the market. Is it okay? Are we going to be okay? Are the banks okay? So one day they're up a lot. Next day they're down a lot. They seem to have settled a little bit by the end of the week. But we don't have a chance to just flush. We're just kind of, I don't know really what, you know, KeyBank is worth. I don't know. Is it? Would it be viable without the backstop of all the guarantees on people that have bigger than $250,000 deposits, which I don't think is that many in a bank like Key. But I don't know. So why don't I just wait, right? And so we were kind of in that world of, I'm not going to throw money at that. I don't know what's going to happen here. And most importantly, and I'll really talk about this in the second hour, we don't trust the people in charge at all. I don't care if you're on the left. How can you trust the people that were just like worried about woke and have 12 board members that don't have any banking experience? That's not how you run a business of any kind. You don't run a zoo without having people that actually, you know, have some kind of animal background, do you? It's inconceivable to also not have a risk manager. I mean, so you're going, well, you know, but these are my political guys. And so the left is going, yeah, that's okay because we're, no, they're not. They're not going, it's going to be okay because really non-qualified people, but they check a box, are in charge. Yeah, that makes me feel comfortable too. Mm-hmm. No, nobody's comfortable. Because it's more important to check a box, apparently. I mean, that's what the White House always brags about, to check a box of diversity of some kind, than a box of qualification for the job. It's bizarre world, right? I mean, it's weird. How do you trust in bizarre world? You can't trust your own eyes in Alice in Wonderland, can you? And it feels like that. That's not politics. That's everybody feels like that. We don't have any leaders now. They're gone. I don't think they're gone forever. We don't know what to do about anything, do we? Right? I mean, do we actually have a policy with China? Russia, Ukraine? Do we have a policy on the border? Do we have a policy for banking? Are we becoming nationalized or are we not? Are we just going to back deposits or are we not? What is our policy about anything? I don't know. And I think it feels like that, right? Doesn't it kind of feel like that? Like, how can the markets, sure, markets do what they do. And I almost never pull politics or anything into it. But when there's a lack of leadership, how can companies say, I'm investing in the future. We're moving forward. We're going to build another plant over here. When they have nothing to base that on. No foundation. I don't even know where the country is going. Well, if we don't, that's a problem, right? So it feels like that. I'll talk a lot more, like I said, in the second hour. And right now, we need to take a quick break. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you have a question, we're here. We're here. You know, it's amazing when you look at this past week, though, and you know, all the stuff going on with the banking crisis and all those things, that the market's up. But I mean, it's not in small caps. They got crushed this week. But I mean, you know, the Dow was up 1%. That's nice. S&P was up 2.5-3%. That's really a good week. And the NASDAQ's up like 6%. It's unbelievably good. In a week. In a week of what? Good news? I didn't hear any. Did you? And this is what throws us off all the time, because all we do is look at the news, which again, once again, is a historic report of what happened yesterday. And we react to it as if it's future thinking. It's not. It's emotional. Not even today thinking, it's emotional yesterday news. Oh, that's why we should go and run this direction. And it's just, it's really not a good way to manage money, for sure. But it's, again, those lessons of, yeah, I got this thing figured out, because in our gut, we're all walking around going, what's going on? I mean, what's going on? It just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? It just doesn't feel right. Things are upside down. And maybe it's that, you know, we've talked about this a zillion times. I've talked about the world being upside down for years. But is it like wearing us out now? It's like too goofy for too long, and now we're actually there? But we have some fundamental policy things that have really gone wrong. And now you throw in the mix of our concerns of China and all that. It feels like something's really wrong now. I don't know. I'm still stewing over it. I don't have an answer. I know how I feel. And just like everybody else, I shouldn't be just trusting my feelings. I got a pretty good gut. I know. I get that. And everybody thinks they do, and most people don't. I get that too. So I'm always cautious about feelings. How do I feel about something? Should always concern all of us. How you're feeling about something. Because unless you really are diligent in going around and figuring it out, right? Figuring it out. What do I mean by that? Figuring out how wrong you are all the time. That's what I mean. How wrong we all are. Because we are. Wrong all the time. We just don't think that. Because we really put our hat on the time we're right. I think of it often like in a casino, and people talk about the big win they had, the big jackpot they got. Not the dozens or hundreds of losing times they had. It's very natural for us to think of the extraordinary very bright in our heads. And the extraordinary is us predicting the future. The market this week once again shows us how resilient it is. It shows me that too. How resilient it is. So if I want to trust my gut to say, ooh, ugh, things are wrong. Markets are going down. I got to be out. I'm wrong a lot. A lot more than I think I am is the only honest answer. Because markets are more resilient than we think they are. Corporations figure it out and walk around and get past JoJo and company. They figure out how to navigate. And we forget that. I do too. I've got a lot more next hour. I just got some stuff I want to share, and I hope you'll stick around for hour number two. And by the way, our number, 580-5436, dave@petzofinancial.net. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us once again. These are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station's or anybody else's. And we're not here mostly, most importantly, I should say, not here to tell you what to buy, and sell. Stupid stuff, misleading. And I don't know why we do that. I truly don't know why people do that. It makes no sense. None at all. It's a complete waste of time. Don't know why people sit in front of the financial blabber all day long and think they're getting insight in what the markets are doing. It's just a silliness. It's human nature, and it works. I don't know why we spend so much energy doing those things, but we do. So enough of that. We're not here to do that. We're here to teach, to learn. I teach myself. I learn. I feel better finishing up a show. It keeps me grounded. So thank you for letting me do this for 35 years. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. I can't believe I'm a 60-year-old man. Man. Absolutely unbelievable. I do believe it when I look in the mirror. That is incredible. Whoever that is staring back at me, I don't recognize. Here's what I've been thinking about a lot. I really, as I touched on it in the first hour, we have a confidence problem. And I've said this for many, many months now. I have no reason to think that the market's going to go up or down. I have no reason to let's say, bet my chips on one side or the other, except that markets do go higher in the long run. And so you have to own stocks. You just own them. As we talked about Louis the Loser, and maybe I'll pull that out and talk about it again. We can't have it all. And I do know this. It really works when we get these little corrections, even little flash corrections. Down quickly, Apple, Google, whatever it was, had a terrible, terrible, terrible 2022. That you buy. You don't wonder where interest rates are going and if the PEs are too high and listen to the talking heads mumble about, you know, lack of clarity of earnings or whatever it is they want to mumble about and pretend that they never owned Apple all the way down. You buy. You buy the great corporations of the world that are growing faster than the economy when they go on sale. It works every single time. And you don't have to wait for 10 years either for it to work. It works all the time. And it makes total sense. And you'll never get the bottom price, ever. And that's the unacceptable part for people. They won't pull the trigger knowing that they could be wrong. And it's not that they could be wrong, that they will be wrong. In the middle of this storm, you should be buying X, and I don't want to go down that road right now, but you won't because tomorrow it could get cheaper. There's incredible little opportunities because of the credit space and all the things that get turned upside down when we have a little banking crisis and everything just goes whoop, and it just flips everything. which you got really low risk things in this over little, this little area over here. I don't want to touch it because guess what? Tomorrow could be worse. And it scares you because it is like, wow, there's volatility there in a low risk area. I can't believe it. There is. That happens during a quick crisis. And people rarely, rarely will buy it because we don't want to be wrong. We feel like we can't buy an ETF, a mutual fund, or an individual stock in that area because it might get worse tomorrow because the news is already so terribly bad. The news is bad. The price already reflects it, but we won't buy because we're so focused on the bad news. Super true, over and over, and it's not just you. It's okay if you want to take everything personal so you ignore it, that's fine, and don't change your behavior. That's fine. That's not smart, but it's your life. I'm talking about all human beings, including those genius traders on Wall Street that are really the kings of what's happening right this second, not what's going to happen. So as we think about all this, and we can't buy, it makes it really hard in circumstances like this. So here we are in this world. Here's our world. It's upside down. It's bizarro world. We pick our leaders by the boxes they check, not their abilities. Oh, no. Gosh, no. It wouldn't matter if this guy over here or that woman over there or the in-between person over here that identifies as whatever. We got them all checked off. That's bizarre. I mean, it's really, really weird. We don't hire on ability for our leaders anymore. I just want to be led by a checked box. Incredible. Absolutely mind-numbing. And here's the problem. I really believe that our fear is very, very high. I feel it. I hear it. You hear it in the news. Our anger runs deep. Frustration. How in the world do you have a two-tier justice system where a mild crime or not even a proof crime, you have SWAT teams coming in for, but you let cities burn. Things are weird, and we don't talk about if it's a correct candidate's laptop. We can't talk about that. We cover it up if we're a news agency, because after all, the election's coming. It makes us all angry and fearful, and it doesn't work in a system. It's a banana republic where you turn the justice system on your political opponents. And you can't grow an economy like that. It doesn't work. Corruption is so corrosive. Ask Mexico how they're doing. Anytime in your life, how are they doing? With one of the most beautiful, abundant countries on the planet, with the richest neighbor next door. How do you do that? Corruption. Corruption. We have a super high. Sorry about that. I just was my best buddy, potential spam. And it's an amazing thing when we think about this. We are in a circumstance now where fear is very, very elevated. And I believe it's because of a lack of confidence. And I'm not going to run down how bad JoJo is. We all know how bad he is. He has a hard time finding the doorknob. He won't answer questions. That's our leader, the leader of the free world. That brings a lack of confidence. What are we doing with China? I don't know either. I haven't heard anything except you know, generals will get up and talk, and a defense guy or a defense secretary, all those things. They'll get up and go, yeah, we're pushing back on – what does that mean, pushing back? Well, you know, we're not begging Xi to let us come to his country to see him and kiss his ring. I mean, we're not. Uh-uh. We're, what does pushing back mean? I don't know. I don't know either. Lot of platitudes. But I don't care if you're on the left. You love that guy. And after a while, you just kind of sit there and go, there's no there there. There's no plan. None. But, you know, the border's under control, and there really isn't a fentanyl crisis in their country. There's not a problem with young men and suicidal young women in our country. Everybody's happy. They're just super happy. We're all super happy. I don't know what you're talking about. The economy's great. Inflation's clearly under control. And it's all because of this new program we have, the new spend vast amounts of money in corporate welfare, Build Back Better Part 2, called the Inflation Reduction Act. It's working so good. And just shut up. And we're apparently doing a bad job of communicating because everything is really good. Don't trust your lying eyes. With that kind of angst and fear and there's no confidence. How are we going to get out of this when the president of the United States can't find the doorknob? When the people that are in charge of every single agency seem to be some of the most incompetent people in the world. When a bank is bailed out because that's where the donors are. We break all the rules overnight. In a bank that had 12 board members, not one of which had banking experience. And they didn't have a risk officer. But boy, golly, how they did great videos on how cool and thoughtful and woke they were. Wow. Isn't that great? And that's the people in charge. Now, I'm not saying this is hopeless. That's not the point. The point is, why do I feel the way I feel? I think we feel this way because there just simply isn't any confidence. You turn around the Federal Reserve, who's done everything wrong, everything, for so long, it's just inexplicable. How can you keep doing this? Why? Even when you knew inflation was not transitory, you kept digging the hole. Why? Why would you keep pumping money into a system when you know inflation is coming, is here, and it's not going to go away easily? Why do you keep pumping money into the system for 6 more months? And then you grab a sledgehammer and start beating the same economy that you were pumping money into with a sledgehammer. What is wrong with these people? I mean, it almost seems intentional. They're so inept. Oh, and it's really good to look back and talk about how inept they are. But when you're actually saying, okay, we're wrong. It's not transitory inflation. We now admit out loud. Why do you keep doing what's totally contrary to that? I don't understand that. And they did for a very long time with trillions of dollars. Not a small amount. Now, they tell us they are going to raise interest rates by 3/4 point interest rate increases. No, they didn't raise it by 0.75 for the year. They raised it by nearly 5% for the year. Okay, finally. Now, enough of that. We get to this week, and we got another shot. Our Federal Reserve can get up and talk about the banking crisis, be confident, be leaders. Let's be fearless leaders on something. I mean, even the military is not leading anymore. It's like everybody's afraid to lead. Like make a decision. So what did the Federal Reserve do this week? What was their decision? In my opinion, their decision was to not make a decision. And then mumble nothingness about the bank crisis. You have to have an opinion, Mr. Powell, about what's going on. Right or wrong, you guys are in charge of the banks. What's going on with the banks? Is this a big problem? Janet Yellen looks like she's asleep. She's not going to give anybody any confidence. So the Fed blows it every way to Sunday, and then they get up this week. Janet Yellen is the other person out there in the Treasury. She looks like she's going to fall asleep any moment now. There's certainly nobody on the planet that goes, oh, thank goodness, she really is leading. Look at her go. She's not. She must be too old. She wasn't this inept before. But that's who we have. And the Fed has a chance this week. A younger, more energetic, certainly feels like a stronger leader. Powell gets up and he punts. We don't say we're going to hold interest rates right now. He doesn't say we still have inflationary pressures and raise it by a half a point. He raises by a quarter of a point. Why? Because they're not leading. They don't lead. What we have is no leadership. They don't want the market to think they might reduce interest rates later. That would be bad. Okay. So that would be the zero choice, and that's a bad one because of the stock market or the bond market? Couldn't you do a little words like, for example, say, we're just going to pause right now. We've raised 5%. In a short order, we still are concerned about inflation, but we don't see any reason. A quarter of a point was what we're debating about. A quarter of a point isn't going to decide anything about inflation. It's a non-decision. And so we just want to not put any more stress on the banking system right now. That's all. I'm not concerned about the banking system, but why stress it more and get it and have it be concerned? This doesn't have anything to do with what we're going to do in 6 weeks from now at the next meeting or for the rest of the year. We're getting rid of the dot plot nonsense. We haven't been right for over a year. We haven't even been close. We're not in the same planet of right. We thought there'd be 3 rate increases. Instead, we had the equivalent of 18 of them last year. 3 to 18 is like so far off, guys. Hey, our bad. Things got out of control. We're going to fix that. We're not even going to talk about trying to guess where we're going to be a year or 2 years from now. That's crazy. This thing is way bigger, this economy, to tell us what exactly is going to happen. Why can't we have this conversation? Why can't people just be direct? I don't know why Powell can't do that. But instead, what they do is they do a quarter of a point, which does nothing for anything except put more stress on the banking system. That we don't think is a problem, but who knows? It could be, but nobody is even talking about it. But it's not going to help inflation. A quarter of a point? Wow, boy, there's a big decision. Whew. Man, that should stuff inflation now. No, it doesn't matter. We move interest rates from 4.5 to 4.75, or in other words, we raise it from 4.75 to 5. Super. Leadership, incredible. Man, I just like going, whoa, doesn't the Fed have control of this? No. And this is all the way across. This vast incompetence breeds a lack of confidence. That's what I think the markets are feeling. That's why they go up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little, because we're full of corporations that are killing it or getting killed. Creative destruction at its best. Markets figure it out. But collectively, right now, we have no confidence. And why should we? People are afraid to lead anymore. They're afraid to have opinions, afraid to say things. Well, so-and-so may not like what I'm saying. Okay. Okay. So we don't lead. And we don't allow for opinions. We don't allow for dissent. And this is what we have. A completely inept sack of leadership. It's incredible. And I don't think it's good for our country, the economy, the markets. It's not. Because confidence, at least in my time, I saw it. Our country went from Jimmy Carter to having confidence in itself because of Ronald Reagan. Told us we could do it. Told us that government wasn't the solution. We were. America was the light on a hill. Do we hear that? Do you feel that? In any of the leaders? I don't. I don't. And that's what I think is broke. Where's Ronald Reagan? That's what we ought to be looking for in our leaders. And I pray that we get that soon. Because I don't think this current batch is going to change. Just don't think they're going to change. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Our lines are open. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Hang on, I got to get some headphones going here. There we are, I hope. Now, all right, Bo, come on in here and help me get this thing. Hang on, you guys out there. We're going to have to wait. I've got 0-for-2 on the headphones, so I can't hear the callers. So Bo will get that fixed up, I hope, any second now. In the meantime, let's just roll on here with one other thought I had here in this whole lack of confidence, fear. It's just a bad circumstance out there. But I'll tell you what else. It's kind of why. Why would I go and invest? Listen to a great presentation this past week. It was like, why? Why should I just not buy treasuries? Why invest in anything else? And it's a fair question, a totally fair question. Why would you when we're getting 5% risk-free, rolling it over? We got it. Wow, just about lost my eardrum there. It is a constant question that markets have to ask because interest rates do affect stock prices, right? So, yeah, I think it's a confidence problem because you don't invest in anything, you don't expand your business if you don't have confidence that we're moving forward. And people don't have confidence. But at the same time, when interest rates are this high, you have to say, are there other alternatives? Why would I invest in stocks right now? I'm not confident. And why not? And the answer is, part of the money ought to be. But I also wanted, this presentation was, why not? The answer is because every time you've taken the short-term look, it's the long-term yielding less when interest rates are inverted. What does the interest rate inversion mean? Okay. It means that short-term interest rates are higher than long-term. Weird. Very upside down. Very bad for banks, by the way. Right? Because they have short-term deposits and long-term loans. A bad mismatch when we're short-term rates are higher than long-term. Right? Okay, so that's what we're dealing with. And people always gravitate to, hey, I've got no risk. I can get my money out in like 3 months or any day. Money markets are nearly 5% right now, so that's daily. And so why wouldn't I do that? Because the yield curve is signaling, telling you, that interest rates are coming down. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon. They don't have to be right. But they always have in the long run. When we are at a peak of the interest rate cycle, and whether we pass that peak or we're still coming to it, we don't know. Okay? But it's pretty close, right? Then 5-year bonds yielding a lot less by the end of the 5-year period have made more money than rolling over your treasuries. That's an interesting thought as to why it is okay to, A, invest, stay invested, and if you want to add a little bit into money markets at 5, you want to go dip your toe into some bonds and things like that. Like I've said, I now believe with interest rates up that the 60-40 is back in play. When it was dead, certainly dead to me, and I believe it was dead and totally unacceptable to think that way, although Wall Street did, for 12 years. That was a long haul. Because when 40% of your money is at earning less, guaranteed to earn less than the inflation rate, that won't work. For having cost of living adjusted income all the days of your life you can't outlive. Won't work. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, sir. I got the attention span of a gnat, and I'm slow-minded, but try to listen to you and get Mr. Miller. And what day of the week do you do that these days? Used to be on Monday.
It was Monday. Yeah, yeah, good point. It's Tuesdays.
Tuesday.
Yes, yes. Due to the fact that there's holidays on Mondays and stuff more often, right, than a Tuesday, then we just kind of like moved it. It was good. It's been nice.
I'll reset my bad habits then, and because, like I said, I tried to listen this morning, and I said, wait a minute, what did he just say? Oh, wait a minute. So, anyway, what I wanted to talk about is Mr. Limbaugh used to say words mean things.
Mm-hmm.
And ESG is what they used to call SRI, socially responsible investing.
Right.
They went from alcohol, tobacco, gambling, slavery. Well,
yep.
And now it's
it encompasses everything.
The governance and all that stuff. They just changed the words on us. It's just like a
global warming is now climate change, so you can blame every storm that comes through on, you know, exigential crisis. I'm not even trying
My newest bumper sticker is, since when exactly in Earth's history did climate not change?
Yeah, true.
But I still go back to, I believe it was Jimmy Rogers, a big-time investor years ago. But first you make your money, then you can give it to whoever you want.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
If you want to do socially responsible investing or ESG or whatever, okay, get rich first and then give it to whoever. Let's not have my fiduciary, quote, I'm using air quotes there,
mm-hmm,
do it for us.
Correct. And it also, then you have the political corruption, just like we have right now. We are going to have that with inflation. Fighting Act or whatever the stupid name was. It's the exact dead opposite. But it's corporate welfare again.
Yep.
It's Solyndra over again. It's the misallocation of capital. There's nothing wrong with corporations running like crazy at green energy. I love the idea. I want to invest in that. I want to own a Tesla. I want to do all those things. But it isn't going to fix the whole thing when we have one thing out there. And we've got China polluting like crazy. And they have all the minerals. I mean, it's just like it's a completely nutty thing where it should be, if we can have a discussion, approached by both sides in an intelligent, non-corrupt manner. And instead, we scream and yell. We talk about the world is going to burn up in 5 years. Well, that was 20 years ago, and then they delete those tweets and go on to the next ones.
Well,
we ought to be celebrating the fact in our country that we have a monstrous, more than 70% decline in carbon in the air in the United States, as we have tens of millions of people more in the last 20 years. Why? Because we switched over to natural gas from coal. Because our cars go further on a tank of gas. Is a lot of reasons we should celebrate, not stop moving forward, but to celebrate what we've done right and layer on top of that. The other problem with ESG, and I'll let you speak, is that ESG is not measurable. It's not like my company's really good because, you know, Silicon Valley Bank probably had a really good ESG score, okay? And they're out of business. And they're woke stupid. And that's the problem. You have different companies also that score high or low, depending on which ESG ETF is doing it. And no, they don't have better returns at all. So it's not something that makes any sense on any level. You said it right. Go make money and then go give it to those people, or better yet, incentivize people to go make money when we're in areas that are difficult to do, scientific, et cetera.
Yeah, Silicon board members were up in at woke training in San Francisco half the time. I wanted to put in kudos to Kendall Ford over in Meridian. I was had some service done. I saw the brand new Mustang electric car. Four doors, first off, what WTF there. But we had a long talk about where are they going to get the electric.
Yeah.
The wind's not blowing and the sun's not out, and where have you stored your electric? And it just sort of struck him like he hadn't thought of that before.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you don't have storage capacity, I want to invest in every battery company that's out there trying, because one of them's got to hit one of these days and make it big.
That's right. That's why you own Tesla. I got to go, Terry. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Good day.
Bye. And we do. I have to take a quick break here. And Steve, you're up to bat next. I appreciate you hanging on. I will make one quick comment here, too. All of this stuff is coming. It's technology. It's not government fiat and mandate that does it. It's shrinking microchips. It's figuring out how to make a battery smaller, last longer, hold more voltage longer. It's making smarter electric grid. That's technology. It's not government bureaucracy. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thanks for joining us. If you missed anything, miss a week or whatever, we have podcasts out, and I tell you what, they're just slick as can be. They start off, the only thing you miss the recording with Kevin and I from Tuesdays. And but anyway, it's that's at Petzo Financial. It's also at the Apple Store under Petzo Financial. So we've got those podcasts out there as well. If you miss anything and want to catch it, there it is. Also at our website, petzofinancial.com, we have calculators and articles to help you with your own financial planning. All right. Steve, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. I'm a retired guy from the semiconductor industry, and I want to thank you for what you do. It's unusual for me, but I agree with everything that you've said so far. About 20 years ago, I started with a financial coach who seems to be extremely well aligned with you. And I want to tell your audience here that they should listen to Dave, because what you recommend has worked so well for me by following these basic principles about not getting caught up in the emotion and making sure you understand facts, data, and logic, and don't get caught up in all the negative stuff that's going on. So you're bringing sanity into this bizarro world, and I really want to thank you for doing that.
No, it's super kind of you. Thank you for that. Is there anything we can do for you today, or any commentary outside of that?
Yeah, just one comment and one question. The comment, a lot of what you've talked about in this bizarre world fits into this model, at least in my mind, of the left brain, right brain. And what you talk about and the way I think about the world from my engineering background is more left brain oriented. We deal with facts, we deal with data, we deal with logic, common sense. And the right brain deals with all the emotions. And that seems to be why why can't people understand this? Why can't we have a good discussion about this? And I've learned that the discussions don't happen because the left, the political left, is all right-brained. It's all emotion. It's all injustice. It's all outrage. It's all based on the way I want it to be. And it doesn't get in the left brain of, well, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the data. Let's look at the logic and apply some common sense. And it's like we're talking on two entirely different planes, and we don't understand one another because we just talk a totally different language, whether it's ESG or the green energy, the term you use, woke, stupid. A real simple example, the grid today cannot handle electric vehicles, and yet these states are mandating that no more electric or no more gasoline-powered vehicles after a certain date. Well, you're not going to be able to go anywhere because the grid can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we do need to spend more time on that. And I think that's a very good observation. And why I continue to point to, well, your field. That's what's going to allow us to do that, is the smarter grid. Smaller microchips. That's what's going to allow us, as technology, broadly speaking, is going to allow all of this.
Yes.
Not government mandates.
Will.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the stupid politicians don't get in the way of all of it. So anyway, I don't want to take up all your time here. You've got other people. But the question that I would like to pose to you, I think I know the answer, at least in my own life, but for other people, is what do we do? Given what Dave's told us about the financial situation and the bizarro world, what do we do?
Mm-hmm. Fair question. I think I'll use that the rest of our time together today to try to answer that. It's a really good question, Steve. It really is. It's one that I ponder as well. How much of what should we be doing? So I'll take a stab at it and think out. How about that? I'll just think out loud with everybody, okay?
Sounds great, Dave. Thank you.
And thank you. I really appreciate your compliment and your listening. So thank you. Please call back.
Okay.
Thanks. And have a great day. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I guess we're probably just about out of time after I comment on this. Okay, number one, the world is upside down. It's not the first time. The greatest time to have invested in my adult lifetime was 1980, when interest rates were 21.5%. Unemployment was double digit, but we just had elected Ronald Reagan. Now, we didn't know at the time that Ronald Reagan was Ronald Reagan. We didn't know that he'd turn out to be the great, unbelievable leader that he was and take down the Soviet Union and fix our economy that was completely wrecked. But most importantly, what did he do? How did that happen? Did he do it? Did he just lift the world on his shoulders and take it with him? No. He gave us confidence. And that's why I started today. It's a lack of confidence. We don't have it. We don't have America's swagger anymore, do we? Oh, you don't want that. We're a bunch of John Waynes running around out there. Yeah, and the world was a better place. More confident, forward-thinking, forward-leaning, thinking about our families, our kids, the next generation's coming. Now we think about our TikTok videos. What's happening this microsecond to me? Not to the world. So I think that we've lost track of that somewhere. And I don't want to go back into that dissertation because Steve asked a very good question. What do we do? We got to believe that we've hit some peak of stupidity out there, that we are going to find our way again, that there may not be a Ronald Reagan, but how about a sack of pretty good leaders? That's all we need. We don't need the world's best. We just need some leaders to kind of start giving us a sense of confidence in ourselves, because we don't need decisions to be made for us. We need to have confidence in us. We need decisions to be of bureaucrats to just get out of our way. This is what we do best. This is why we are who we are. We're independent, running at things, working hard, figuring it out. It's who we are. It's who America is. It's why we're unbelievable. And we've lost that. So I don't think it means that we don't do things. What I do think it means is it's okay if you want to put some in 5% interest, but don't make an all-in, 100% decision. Like, I'm all out of stocks, I'm all in bonds, or I'm all out of this, I'm all into that. That's where we go wrong, and we go really wrong, because we're not right. I'm not right. I am wrong by some magnitude about what I think is going to happen over the next 6 months, 1 year, 10 years. Nobody's right. Everything's, even if you knew what the economic conditions would be, you don't know how human beings will react, and therefore you don't know what markets are going to do. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with China. We don't know what's going to happen with Russia. We don't know what's going to happen with inflation. We don't know. And that reminds me of 1980s. That's what we do. You stay invested. You add more whenever there's a dip to the great corporations of the world. And you keep rolling. You want to have some stuff in bonds now? You get paid for it. Finally. So we can say yes to some. But we're not done. This country is the greatest ever. And we're coming back. Have a great rest of the weekend. Thanks for tuning in.